Hello, Madison and North Florida. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned right here on WMAF to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. If you're driving down the interstate, don't take your hands off the wheel, but turn the radio up. Please don't turn the dial. We have a great message today to bring you from God's Word, something that I believe will bless you and maybe help you to get a grasp of where we're living prophetically and why events are happening that are happening not only in America but globally around the world. You're going to be hard-pressed to listen to CNN, MSNBC, the Fox Channel, pick up a periodical newspaper, Newsweek. You're going to be very hard-pressed to find any good news in these days that we are living. I am 66 years old. My son, who just turned 40, my youngest, my oldest is getting ready to turn 50. And my youngest son asked me as we were walking together this very week, he said, "Dad, it was different when you grew up. I wish I could have grew up while you were growing up. It was different in the late 40s and early 50s growing up than it is today, because the bad news and the fear and the anxiety is everywhere, and there's nowhere you can go and feel truly safe in our world as it is today. The future is uncertain, for no one can promise peace and no one can promise safety. But we have a God that we can and must turn to and look to. And this God has spoken to us through His Word by His Spirit. And I believe we're going to hear Him speak to us today. So please stay tuned. In just a few moments, we're going to talk about following the God of light in a sin-darkened world. And I'm convinced today that God has a message for me. God has a message for you. And this message is a message of hope and of help. Praise God. There's hope. So if you think I'm one of those fatalist preachers that doesn't bring any good news along with being honest about the present conditions of our world, I want you to know that there's hope in Jesus Christ today. Amen. Not only for the world, but for the world that you live in, your world, your family, your job, your body, your circumstance of life. God cares about you today. And we want to talk about this in just a few moments. I would like you to do something, if you would. We don't have a lot of interaction with our listening audience because of it's a radio station. I can't see you. You can't see me. But I do feel like we have a definite connection. I believe God is doing something special through this radio broadcast. Not just us. There are other fine Bible-based, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching ministries and ministers right there in Madison and North Florida, and certainly on the World Wide Web and television. We just would love to know if this broadcast has been and is being a blessing to you, to your family, to yours, in some way that we're blessing you. Would you please communicate somehow with WMAF and let them know that Let's Talk About Jesus is blessing you? Let them know the station, number one, is a blessing. It's a blessing to me. I listen by computer to WMAF when I have the opportunity, and it's family friendly. There's nothing in Tampa like it. As big as Tampa is, where this broadcast originates, we don't have a hometown radio station. We got a lot of them, and we certainly don't have classic country music, classic gospel music, and classic preaching. Praise God. So you have a jewel there in Madison, and we do appreciate WMAA. Proud to be part of the broadcast family, and I hope you're glad to be part of the listening family. If you would like to come to our website and just leave a message, there's a place there where you can leave an email message that will come directly to us. We would be so glad to know. So let the station know, or let us know in some way, that God is blessing you through the broadcast. It will encourage us to keep using our time and energy and investing in what the Lord is doing. And everyone needs encouragement, and we would love to hear. Our church would just be so happy to know that someone is being blessed because of our corporate collective effort. We work together as a small congregation to do something big for God, and that is to reach and bless people in His name. Hallelujah. No ulterior motive here. If you'd like to come to our website, type in THCOG. THCOG. That will take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, where Pastor Robert A. Venable has been the pastor, and now we're in our 40th year, and God has blessed us, and we pray we're a blessing to you today. If you're not a Christian, please be our special guest, and stay tuned and listen to what the Lord says to us through His wonderful Word. We're talking about following the God of light in a sin darkened world. Our scripture is very simple. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, listen to it carefully. So important to help us understand our culture as it stands today, our world as it is today, and our purpose as Christians within it right now. We live in faulty bodies, no doubt about it. We have to be changed. We live in a fallen world, a sin-darkened world, where the God of this world opposes not just Christians, but every human being is His enemy. But you have a friend in Jesus, I'm telling you today, that will stick closer than a brother if you will receive Him and trust in Him. Listen to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And in Him is no darkness at all. Now, there's a reason for darkness in this world, but it is not because God Himself has any darkness in Him. Scripture went on in the book of James to say that every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. That's why the scriptures were able to say of Christ later on that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes according to the scripture, because God is a God who doesn't just dwell in light. He is light. Perfect truth. Perfect purity. There is no darkness in Him at all. I've often said it before. I must say it again. God doesn't lie, not because He chooses not to, but because He can't lie. Because in Him there is no darkness at all. So listen very carefully today about what the Bible teaches you and me about this enemy who came, and the sin that occurred, and the darkness that fell upon this world. Describing the condition of everyone outside the kingdom of God right now, everyone that is without God and without redemption. Paul said, but if our gospel be hid, and I'll give you the coordinates, if some military man might put it. I'm going to give you chapter and verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Listen to what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 through 6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourself your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you're saved today, something occurred in your heart, in your mind, in your sin-darkened soul, in my sin-darkened soul. You know, I was perfectly content to live without God in this world. I was perfectly content to go my way. I'm not telling you I was satisfied. I was always looking for some sinful act or pleasure or thing to satisfy. There was a craving for something in me. But I was perfectly content to live that way until something occurred to illuminate, to give me revelation. You know, the Bible said of Simon Peter, Jesus asked Peter, of all people, of all of his followers, he had a tax collector who was, must have been pretty good with math, had a pretty analytical mind. He had a physician following him, but he asked a fisherman. Isn't it incredible? He wanted a point to be made here. He didn't depend on a man's intellect to get it, but on his ability to receive revelation from God by God's Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, I told someone the other day, I really don't want to know my IQ. There are tests you can take even online to find out where you fall in your intelligent quotient, what you're able to do because of your mental capabilities. I really don't want to know. It may limit what I believe that I can accomplish with God's help. I'm not leaning on my intellect anyway. I'm not leaning on my intelligence to preach the gospel. Wherever my intelligent quotient falls is not the issue. Amen. I'm depending on the Holy Spirit. If He doesn't speak to you as I'm reading and teaching the Scripture, you're not going to hear from God, regardless of how articulate I may be or eloquent I may wax. You know, one preacher without the intelligent quotient tried to wax eloquent at a funeral to show when the spirit leaves the body, only the body is just a shell where the man lived. And he said that, you know, this body is just a shell. The nut has gone to heaven. Hallelujah. Well, that was probably true, but it wasn't a very eloquent way of putting it. But friend of mine, I want you to know there is a Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and He is here in this sin-darkened world. And He, as the gospel is declared, can bring illumination to the mind that has been blinded by the darkness of this world. This is the glory of the gospel. And when that glory shines in that heart, you see something you never saw before, and you come to know someone that you never knew before. Praise God. So he asked Peter, who do men say that I am? And Peter had heard all the discussion of all the great theologians, and some of them said, well, his power and his message is like Elijah has come back to us. And some say you're this, some say you're that. And then Jesus said, but Peter, who do you say that I am? And without skipping a beat, the fisherman said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked back at him and without skipping a beat said, Yes, and thou art Peter. And flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father only. God sent the Holy Spirit. And He is called in Scripture the Comforter. He's called other things, but He's called the Spirit of Truth. And the Bible said when He comes, He will guide you into all truth. Amen. And He is here. And He is there where you are right now. I'm not going to try to intellectually convince you of anything. But I'm going to tell you the truth as God has preserved it in His holy word. And I'm telling you the Holy Spirit can and will do the rest if you will just begin to open your heart. Praise God. If our gospel is hid, It is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of men. So Jesus said, there's something occurred, Peter. There's a reason you know what you know. And it's because my Father, it's because God has caused your spiritual eyes to be opened. God has illuminated, hallelujah, your sin-darkened heart, and you see clearly something, and you know something, not because you've been indoctrinated, not because some process of mind control has occurred, but because you've had an encounter with the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. And he said, on this rock of the revelation of Christ by the Spirit of God, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Praise God. Amen. Friend of mine, I don't know about you, but I know what happened to me. We used to sing a song. It's kind of it's an older song that comes from the older times in the church, but it said, I can tell you the time. I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. I cannot tell you why, and I cannot tell you how. We'll understand it better in the by and by, but I can tell you the time that I had that encounter with Christ. I can take you to the address. I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. My wife has an aunt, and her husband was in the military, and he was 2 years, two terms in Vietnam during the height of the Vietnam conflict. After that, came out, taught people to be combat helicopter pilots, and then served in Korea. Finally came out of the service, and if there was a self-sufficient, self-confident man, he was that man. He didn't see his need for the Lord. He didn't see his lost condition or the glory of the gospel that offered reconciliation. She prayed for him for years. And one night, in the wee hours of the morning, 12 or 1 in the morning, this very self-confident, self-sufficient man who said, religion is fine for those who need it, I simply don't need it, suddenly woke her up out of a dead sleep and said, I need Christ in my life. Honey, I want you to know something today. There is no substitute for the Holy Spirit and His work. The God of this world has blinded the minds of men, but our God is a God who opens the eyes of the blind. That's why when Jesus said that He was anointed to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that were bruised, and to open the eyes of the blind. It wasn't just the physical healings that occurred as He walked this earth. That the body healed still contains a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. I'm not playing down this wonderful miracle of healing when it occurs. I'm saying there's something greater than the healing of the body, and that is the healing of the sin-darkened soul. There's something greater than opening the eyes of a blind man physically, and that is when our spiritual blindness, suddenly we're flooded with the light of the glory of the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. This self-sufficient, self-confident military man got down on his knees. Amen. Said, is your preacher, would he mind if we called him? They had a three-way conversation. She got her pastor out of bed in the wee hours, said, my husband wants to come to Jesus right now. Praise God. Amen. And the pastor said, she said, I'm sorry to bother you. And I'm going to tell you something about preachers that love God. You call me at 1 o'clock in the morning and say you want to receive Jesus. I don't need coffee. I don't need caffeine. You know what happens? The Bible said there's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that comes to repentance. When one prisoner is set free, one prisoner is set free from Satan's prison house of darkness. When those bars break and that door flies open and that soul goes free and runs to Christ, hallelujah, it makes news in heaven. And there's rejoicing and joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repents. That pastor was wide awake, prayed over the phone, and that man came to know Jesus. He's with the Lord now. He went home to be with Jesus. Praise God. But he came to Jesus after years of darkness and blindness. His wife saw it. He was raised in a Christian home, but he didn't see it. But he saw it. See, when we begin to intercede for our loved ones and people that don't know Christ in general, the God of this world blinds them. But our God is a God who is anointed to open the eyes of the blind. Praise God. Amen. And that's why I'm bringing hope. That's why I can talk about a sin-darkened world and at the same time say, but there is one who is perfect light and he's perfect love. And he loves enough to shine that light into sin-darkened hearts and souls. Praise God. You know, there's a revival in China going on right now. A mighty move of God's Spirit. The conservative estimate is that while the Church of Jesus Christ is being persecuted in China, that 20,000 people a day are coming to know Jesus as their Savior. Not in a nation known as a Christian nation, but a nation known as an atheistic nation. Marxist and communism was taught from grade school on up, and yet thousands of people are coming to know Jesus Christ, and not because the door is open for evangelism. Oh, there's a state authorized church that can't preach certain things, can't teach certain things under the control of the government. But I want you to know the light is shining in that dark place. And people are coming to know Jesus as their Savior because we serve a God who is the God of light, and we wage war against this enemy of the souls of men by putting on the armor of light. And we demonstrate our faith by walking in the light as He is in the light. Praise God, not only to pursue the light, but to absolutely reprove the darkness. Listen to what Paul says to you and I as Christians in Ephesians 5, verse 7 through 14. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were once darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. For the things which are done by them in secret, it is a shame even to speak of. But all things, when they are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For everything that is made manifest is light. See, there's nothing hidden. There's nothing concealed. We are open before the Lord. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee, or Christ shall give thee light. We call that in the Church of Jesus Christ spiritual awakening. It's not only something that happens to someone who is lost in the world that needs to be saved, but someone who is in the church that is in spiritual slumber. Ah, the light begins to shine bright to us, and then the light begins to shine through us. Hallelujah. And we become God's luminaries in a sin-darkened world. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I like what Malcolm Muggeridge said. He was one of Britain's greatest journalists, and he was a Christian. He frequently wrote about feeling like a stranger in the world. In an interview shortly before his death, he said that he had finally come to see that life was not about now. It was about eternity. And he added this, and I quote, "I really don't belong here. I'm simply staying here for a while." He understood, friend, that there was a difference between the world in which we live and the world to which we should aspire. Many Christians today sadly are seeking acceptance by a pagan world instead of living in sharp contrast to it. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, The Great Divorce, he said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is I was made for another world." My beloved, you are made for another world. You and I were made for another world. It's a world that is marked by newness and freshness, a world that leaves behind the old pagan existence of distorted reasoning, futility, emptiness, and the uselessness of life. It's a world of power and purpose. It's a world that God is going to make new one day. And it begins the day that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. Today can be the day when your world can change. I believe the Holy Spirit is right where you are right now. I believe that He is at work. If you have stayed tuned to this point, you understand why that you don't see what maybe your mama saw, maybe your daddy, your brother, your sister. You may have grown up in a Christian home and you just didn't get it, but you've always wondered what it's all about. I had a cousin, closest thing to a brother I ever had was my cousin. He asked me one night, the last time I saw him, and it's been years since I've seen him. We walked to the car together after a family gathering. He lives in another state, and he knew that I had come to Christ, and he knew me before I came to Christ, and he knew something had occurred, and it was more than just getting religion, more than joining some religious organization. He knew there was a change in my life. And he walked to the car with me and he said, "I want to ask you a question, a personal question." And I said, "Go right ahead." He said, "Is it real? Is it real? Is it real?" And I was able to share, not just from my understanding of Scripture, I was able to share from my personal experience, what had happened to me. It was so very real. I wanted him to know, if you pursue this great truth, if you call upon this great Savior, what you cannot see, you will be able to see. And the God that you feel you could never know is a God that can be known. Hallelujah. And I pray that before he leaves this world, that he will call upon the name of the Lord, that he will be saved. And when he calls upon the Lord, he'll know in his heart the reality of this great Savior and this great salvation. Praise God. Amen. There's a song that is sung in some enthusiastic church congregations, and it says, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus." It's a simple way of saying a profound truth. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. That's why the name of this broadcast, friend, is not "Let's Talk About Our Denominational Heritage, Our Political Point of View," although those things are very important, especially now. The name of this broadcast is not "Let's Talk About This Preacher, This Church." Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about the Savior. If you don't know Christ as your Savior today, I pray that you will open your heart. Just crack the door to your heart. He won't push his way in, but he's so anxious to come in. And you know what will precede him? Light. Light will shine. And understanding will come of things that blinded eyes and minds just can't see. Oh, come to Jesus now. And if you're a Christian, walk in the light. Walk in that light. Come back next week. Let's talk about Jesus.